Now the third chapter, verses 10 to 18, I'd like to handle tonight. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I would also like to read verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. In working this section of Romans, and putting, of course, the finishing touches on it today, well, Romans 3:10 still says, as it's written. So as it's written, it's written. Verses 10 to 18 are quotations from a number of places, different places in the Old Testament. Verses 10 through 12 are general or introductory. Verses 13 to 18 are particular and specific. Checking these Old Testament scriptures in their setting from the standpoint and the viewpoint of Paul's presentation here in the book of Romans will elucidate and contribute vast amount of light, great light, on the Old Testament passages where they occur. So please make yourself a note of what I've said, that 10 to 12 general, 13 to 18 particular and specific. And I will give you, as we get deeper into this, the references where they came from, where it comes from out of the Old Testament. But 3:10 says, as it's written, there is none righteous. The word none is the Greek word ou. There is none righteous. The word righteous is dikaios, D-I-K-A-I-O-S. Not one. No, not one. The not ude here again. And literally it means there is not one righteous person. No, not even one. That's the context and the truth of verse 10. Now, verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There again, the word none is the word ooh. There is not one that understandeth. The word understandeth is the Greek word S-U-N-I-E-M-I. It's a long E. That word literally means to mentally consider and evaluate. Where you mentally consider and evaluate a subject over a period of time, thinking it through to the end of getting an understanding. And the only way, class core, that you can ever think through anything is to go to the Word. Understanding comes from the Word, the Bible says. But that's what that word understanding means, that Greek word. When you work this down, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. That word, or those words, seeketh after, is the Greek word ekze, long e, t-e-o, long o, ekzeteo. And that seeketh after is that word. And that means to inquire diligently, carefully. Not one who carefully, diligently searched after God. Lord, I thought as I worked this thing today and put the finishing touches on this section of Romans, how loudly this speaks at New Knoxville tonight and other places maybe. Not one who understands. Understanding comes from the Word, where you mentally consider and evaluate a subject over a period of time and you think it through according to the accuracy of the Word so you get an understanding. Not one. And there's not one who inquires diligently, carefully, who searches after God. Boy, what a verse, huh? Verse 12 says, they're all gone out of the way. That's something. They are all, Jew and Gentile, gone out of the way. That simply means they flipped out. That's what it means, gone out of the way. They're flipped out. They are together, become unprofitable. Together is the word totally. They are totally become worthless, it says. Worthless. Good for nothing. And then I thought of that scripture in the Gospels, but be trodden under the foot of men. Salt that has lost its savor. There is none, not one, that doeth good. No, not one. Isn't that something? There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not even one. It is interesting that according to Bullinger and according to the Septuagint, Bullinger's right, in the Septuagint, Psalm 14 is word for word as these words are in 12 to 18. But I told you when I began that 10 through 12 were general, and these quotations, 10 through 12, come from Ecclesiastes 7:20, Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3, and Psalm 53, verse 2 and 3. Ecclesiastes 7:20, Psalm 14, 2 and 3, and Psalm 53, 2 and 3. Now, let's go to verse 13. Their throat, their who? The boasters and the workers of wrong. Those who are worthless, who are good for nothing, who do not seek after God and who do not have an understanding. They're the boasters. They're the workers of the wrong. Their throat, and the word throat is a figure of speech. It's a metonymy, figure of speech. You know, their throat's an open sepulcher. See? Throat's an open sepulcher. Literally, whenever they open their mouth, they stink. They got spiritual halitosis. And the only way it can cure spiritual halitosis is with the truth of God's word. Their throat is an open sepulcher. What a beautiful figure. What a fantastic figure. I was thinking of the tongue being an unruly evil. Remember James 3:8? Maybe we ought to look it up. Who's got it? Maybe you can. I was thinking of others too. I made notes of them. Matthew 23:24. Matthew 15:11. Mark 7:15. What's that James 3:8 say? Okay.
But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison.
That's right. The tongue can no man tame. The only thing that ever tames the tongue is the word of God. Man can do it. It's got to be God and the knowledge of God's word that tames the man's tongue. Who's got Matthew 23?
Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel.
Yeah, blind guides that strain at a gnat, but turn right around and swallow a whole camel. That's not a cigarette. No, go on with the next verse once.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of exhortation.
No. Mm-hmm. Full of what?
Extortion.
Extortion. Right.
And excess.
Right. In other words, they look nice on the outside, but inside they stink. Dirty. See, this all fits with their throat is an open sepulcher. See? Matthew 15. Craig, you got that one?
Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man.
Now keep going.
Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind.
Yeah.
And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
Yeah, finish up with verse 20. Keep going.
Okay. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man.
Isn't that something? See how that fits? Their throat's an open what? Sepulcher. Now read me that Mark 7, 15 to 23 I want read.
There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. When he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man.
And some, much like Matthew 15, similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's tremendous, isn't it? Their throat, their speech, you know, out of their mouth, their speech, and everything they say is an open sepulcher. Now, an open sepulcher, that word sepulcher that's used here is the Greek word taphos, T-A-P-H-O-S. And you ought to keep this in your mind, you core kids, because there are two different words I want to give you. This literally is what you could speak of as a grave. A taphos, an open grave, while a grave that has a tombstone on it. We, like you see graves in cemeteries that have tombstones on it. That's another word that's used in the Bible, and that word is spelled M-N, long E, M-E-I-O-N. That's a grave with a monument on it. That's the difference. And these are the words that you'll see at times when you work the word. These two words will come up on, and they're both translated sepulcher, but difference in them. See, their throat's an open sepulcher. Whenever they had a monument on it, it was closed in. This is just open. You know, it was stinky all the way through. Can you imagine that? That's a real crude figure of speech. But that speaks loudly, especially those of us who have been in the Far East, where you have seen people die because it's so warm, and temperature-wise, they bury them very quickly. I went to a funeral. A fella died one night. I went to the funeral next afternoon, and they had a big pot of incense underneath the bier, and a fella fanning it so the incense would just keep rolling away because they have no embalming or anything. So that's the picture here. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Then, with their speech, whatever they speak, you know, with their tongues, they have used deceit, the poison of asps. Now, that asp, A-S-P-S, is the venomous cobra, and it is the insignia of the Pharaoh of Egypt, what he would call, we have the way logo. That was his logo. The venomous cobra. That's the asp. Or it could be a horned viper. And I don't know which one. Both are used in the Old Testament. It's one or the other, or maybe both of them at times. But what it indicates, first of all, they're subtle. And they're very, very poisonous. You know, they lay there and act like they're sleeping, and all at once they suck it to you. See? Subtle and poisonous. That's what these people are. Throats an open sepulcher, with their tongues they've used deceit. Deceit. What for? To bring you to them so they can poison you. They grab you, give you venomous cobra poison. Is under their lips. Under their lips. Again, a figure of metonymy. In their language, their speech. What they really do is sweet talk you. Try to get you in and then give you that venomous poison. Mouths an open sepulcher. Then verse 14 it says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. The word is, in King James, is in italics. 13 it is too. But in 14, I know the verb is in the text. It's a verb form. Should be there, right? Okay. It shouldn't be in italics. Whose mouth, verse 14, is full of cursing and bitterness. The word full is the word gemo, G-E-M, long O, gemo. I imagine most of you core thought it'd be polaco, maybe a little Plato. It is an entirely different word. It's the word G-E-M-O, long O. And it's the verb form, and it's always used in the Bible in a negative sense. Whose mouth is full. The best way I can describe it to your kids is it's stuffed. It's stuffed. Stuffful. Stuffed. Now just think for a minute. Their throat's an open sepulcher. With their tongue they use deceit. Poison of asps under their lips. Whose mouth is stuffful. Suppose my mouth was stuffful of food. Suppose it was now still in my mouth, stuffed full. What would you get? You'd get a mouthful of food, wouldn't you? That's the word. Stuffed full. These people have their mouths stuffed full of cursing and bitterness. The Septuagint adds the word deceit. Cursing, bitterness, and deceit. Now, Hebrew has it. That is the text available to us. Whose mouth is full of deceit and oppression. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Whose mouth is full of deceit and oppression. Or whose mouth is full of cursing, bitterness, and deceit. Is really something, because this is the form of a prayer that was used to put the hex on people. It's a prayer for evil. It's what the voodoo people and the rest of them in the black arts use at times. They get a doll. Ever heard of that? They get a doll and they want to kill a person. They put the name of that person on that doll and then they start sticking pins in it. That's this prayer. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. It's a prayer for evil. Technically, it is called an imprecation. I am. Imprecation, P-R-E-C. Malediction. Simply curse. A prayer of curse. Their mouth is just full, stuffed with cursing you and bitterness. Just to curse people. Put the curse on them. Boy, oh boy. Deceit and oppression. If they deceive you, then they want to oppress you. I don't know if we've ever seen the great truth in the depth of that 14th verse like we ought to see it. It just speaks to our times so loudly. Verse 15. Their feet are swift. They're in condition. They've been runners for the other side. They're swift to shed blood. They're the kind of people that would kill if they had an opportunity. The kind of people who would say, look, I wish you died. They're the kind of people that'll put a contract out on you. Feet are swift to shed blood. That's the 15th verse. Verse 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways, because they've left the true way and they go their own way. Destruction is the Greek word centrima, S-U-N-T-R-I-M-M-A. Literally, it means to bruise and to hurt. It's a crushing in. I can give you the picture of the word by you putting a picture of a building in your mind, you know, a cement or a brick building or something. Then they got the something at, with a big ball on it, and they swing the ball in all the sides and knock the building in. That's this word, destruction. A crushing in. And it's done to the extent of to make you feel badly. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction, make you feel badly, crush you in, and misery. Misery is distress. Make it difficult for you. Make it rough for you. Misery is the Greek word spelled T-A-L-A-I-P, long O, R-I-A. Literally hardship. Destruction and misery, hardship, distress, make it rough for you. That's what they're doing. Because that's what they're giving out of their mouths to put that venomous poison within you, are in their ways. Verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known. And the way of peace have they not known. They absolutely do not know the way of peace. Craig, grab me Luke 1:79, please, and read that one for us.
It says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
That's right, to guide our feet in the way of peace. This was the, one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came, John the Baptist, all of these men of God. Read that verse again. Sit in darkness, right?
Right. To give light to them that sit in darkness.
See, they're surrounded with it. We're sitting right in it. To give light to those and?
And in the shadow of death.
And that sitting in darkness is always the beginning of dying. It's already the shadow of what? Death.
To guide our feet into the way of peace.
Right. To guide our feet, the true believers, into the way of peace. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. So where are they going to guide you to? It's axiomatic, boy. It's just as plain as the nose on your face. Plainer. Yeah, that's the verse. 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The word fear is no sense of his presence or regard for God, no awe, no respect before their eyes. These verses, 13 through 18, are taken from Psalm 5:9, Psalm 10:7, Psalm 36:1, Psalm 140, verse 3, and Isaiah 59, 7 and 8. Now let's go to verse 19. We have just finished the quotations from the Old Testament. Now to verse 19. Now we know, OIDA, O-I-D-A. What does that stand for, Walter?
To know. Simply know it or perceive it.
To perceive it. Perceive, for we perceive. For we, now we perceive that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. What preposition is that word under? In 19.
In.
E-N? Okay. To those who are under the law, in the law is part of the thing that was given to them, that every mouth, Jew and Gentile, maybe stopped. This word stopped is the Greek word phraso, P-H-R-A-S-S, long O. Hebrews 11. Read me that. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 11:33.
Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions.
Same word, stopped. And it's used regarding mouths of lions. Stopped. That every mouth may be stopped, like the mouths of the lions. Quite a usage. Now we know, whatever the law saith to those in the law, that every mouth may be closed up, stopped, locked, like a mouth of a lion. You see, the mouth of the lion, if it isn't stopped, going to chew you to shreds. At the mouth of the lion, and all the world, meaning everyone, may become guilty. I think literally it should mean, and everyone is guilty and deserves to pay the penalty before God. I think that's verse 19. Now verse 20. Therefore, why for? Because of all the previous. Therefore, by the deeds, works of the law, there shall no flesh, no one, no mankind be justified. The word justified is the word dikaio, D-I-K-A-I-O-O, meaning declared righteous. There shall no one, no flesh, no one, mankind be declared righteous in His sight. And that, of course, is a statement from Psalm 143, verse 2. And Eileen, I'd like for you to read James 2:10 for me.
For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
Isn't that a dandy? Now, which one do you think's ever going to do that and perfectly keep the whole law? If he breaks just one, the whole law is broken. That's why no flesh, not one, is going to be declared righteous in God's sight, because there is no one that will ever keep everything that law had in it. That's why it says, for by the law is the knowledge. Really, it should say full knowledge. Not just knowledge, but full knowledge of sin. You see, even if you didn't have a law, sin would still be sin. But when you have a law, that sin becomes transgression. Here's a stop sign. You go out and you run the stop sign, you're transgressing the law, they'll pick you up. But suppose there's no stop sign out there, there is no what? Law, yet you go out there and somebody comes the other way and bumps you off in their car, you're just as dead without the law as you would have been with the law. If you're dead, you're dead. It's sin is sin. But under the law, you get the full knowledge of what that sin is all about and what it really does. That's what it's talking about. Verse 21, but in contrast. I was hoping we'd get to this. Waited a long time, didn't we? But in contrast, now, right now, the righteousness of God, God's righteousness. Here, it's righteousness of God, putting it into the genitive case to put the emphasis on God and not on the righteousness. God's righteousness. Well, if it's God's righteousness, it's got to be right. Righteousness, right? But now, the righteousness of God. That's where the emphasis is. Without the law, apart from, without the law, is manifested. Manifested is the Greek word Phanero, P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O. Last O is long. The best way I see this translation is, apart from the law, is seen, evidenced, manifested, evidenced, being witnessed, witnessed. The word witness is the word from which we get the English word martyr, a witness, a martyr. Martyred, witnessed, by is the preposition hupo, H-U-P-O, by means of, see, the law and the prophets. But now the righteousness of God without the law is evidenced, being witnessed by means of the law and the prophets, because it's martyred. Why? Because the law and the prophets stands for the whole Old Testament, W-H-O-L-E. All our sinners, both Jew and Gentiles, all our dead in trespasses and sins, all are spiritually dead. Verse 22. The word even is the word and. Here again. And the righteousness of God. Again, righteousness of God. It's the noun in the regimen, English. It's the usage genitive instead of an adjective. Remember, I use angels of might to emphasize the might of the angels. If you want to emphasize the angels, you would say mighty angels. That would emphasize the angels. But when you want to emphasize the might, then you put it in the genitive and put the word might, angels of might in the genitive. Boy, that's how beautiful God's word is and how accurate it is. And the righteousness of God, which is an italics, and the righteousness of God by pistis, believing, pistis. When you get the righteousness of God, God's righteousness, included in that spiritual package is the faith of Jesus Christ. You know that. The new birth, all that. Eternal life. That's the righteousness of God. And in it is the faith of Jesus Christ. That's why this word pistis here cannot be faith of Jesus Christ. It's the believing of Jesus Christ. That's what made available the righteousness of God to every born-again believer. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, who always did the Father's will, who always carried it out, He is the one who made it available for us by His believing. The righteousness of God by the believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all. Most of the Greek texts omit "and upon all." They omit that. "And upon all," omitted. It's okay with me. I'll omit it too. The believing of Jesus Christ into all, or unto all, Jew and Gentile, them, unto all them, Jew and Gentile, that do one thing, what? Believe. Believe. For there is no, and again we have ooh here. There is absolutely no difference. The word difference is the Greek word meaning distinction. Difference, distinction. For there is no difference, no distinction between Jew and Gentile. So there we have verses 10 through 22 of the third chapter tonight, and that ought to hold you till tomorrow morning.